Like to say good afternoon to everyone. We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call, especially those of you who may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are a very honored guest, and we appreciate having you on our call today. We believe that the Bible is right, and the Church is of Christ, and one must be saved by believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's hill, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism. And that same blood purchased his church, his bride, on the church you read by the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. So if you're not a member, we encourage you to be born again, be baptized, and obey the gospel, that you too may become a member of that one church. This evening, we are continuing our study. I started in Genesis last week, and we'll continue today at chapter 4. We was in chapter 3 on last week, and talked about how God held Satan, the serpent, Adam, and Eve, all of them held accountable for their sin. So that's what I talked about on last week. So this week I want to talk about, from this topic, sin lied at the door. Sin lied at the door. Now, let's just go back to chapter 3 and recap there. In verse number 16, the Bible says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And in sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And that was what's going to happen to the woman because of her sin. Now, Adam, he says in verse 17, he says, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Curse is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall they eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, from out of it was thou taken. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. We talk about how death came at that moment for all men. We talked about that last week. I'll go back to it this week. In verse 20, he said, Adam called his wife named Eve because she was mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothing. And the Lord God said, behold, a man is become of one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his head and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground. Now he sent them to do the work that came as a result of sin. So he drove out the man. So he's out of the garden of Eden. Now he's just like the rest of us. He's out there in the world. And he placed at the east of the garden cherubims, flame of sword, which turned away to keep the way of the tree of life. Now that's the recap. All as a result of sin, all mankind has a penalty. We're going to talk about that here in a minute, more so. But now we turn to chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve. That means they became husband and wife. She conceived. And knew there means they came together as man and woman. And she conceived. Now today, the people want us to believe that Adam could have a baby and not Eve. We know that's the world. That's a bit. Nowhere in the Bible will you ever hear of a man having a baby. So this is designed for women, a woman to have a child. So she did that. And she said, they bear Cain, their firstborn is Cain, their first child, which for Adam and Eve was Cain. And Adam, Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. So now he got the second child. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So you can see the men are carrying because of the sin in the garden. They have to work. And she's doing what God said. She had to go through childbearing pain and have these children. And in the process of time it came to pass, that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. So they're both working, and they bring an offering to the Lord. And Abel was the second brother. And he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat dirt and the lotus. And the Lord had respect unto Abel. It is off. And so, as Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11:4, here's what happened. By faith, Abel, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet speaking. So Abel gave God the first. And the lesson for us there is to always put God first and give him the first sacrifice offered that we offer to the Lord. You put the Lord first in your life, no matter what's going on. Always keep God first. Now, in verse 5, but Cain, here we come. But now, unto Cain, his offering had a respect. And Cain was very wrong, and his countenance fell. Now, remember, Eve said Cain was a man from the Lord. Well, this tells me that God can bless us with children, but the children would have to be, for themselves, have to be the one who will go obey God or not. Yeah, because you have a child, and she said it was from the Lord. Your children are from the Lord. Lord, give us, blesses us with children. But at the end of the day, all of us as parents need to notice that we are to raise those children and nurture the admonition of the Lord. But that child of ours have to make their decision whether they're going to obey God or not. So what is the problem here with Cain? Well, listen to God. And God said unto Cain, and the Lord said unto Cain, he asked him a question. Why are you wrong? Why are you upset? Why is that countenance fallen? You know, he said, well, what are you so upset about? And he said, if you do well, thou shalt be able to say, you're still the child of Adam and Eve. You're still the only son. You're going to get some blessing. You don't have to be upset because I accepted that offering because he did it first and you didn't do as good. And if that does not well, he said, now here's the title of my son. He said, you have a choice, Cain. You can do right and you'll be okay. But you don't do right. The issue is sin lies at the door. Remember, go back to chapter 3. That's where it all started. Adam and Eve sinned. Now, their sons. And sin is lying at the door. You haven't sinned yet, but God is telling them, you've got a choice, just like we do. You can do right, or you can do wrong. When you do wrong, sin is lying at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. Now, that word, lying, according to strong definition, is a primitive root to crouch, like it's just sitting there waiting. If you think about a lion where you see how they stalk the prey, it's sitting there waiting to attack you. It's waiting to come in. And so he said the implication here is that it's lurking. It's down, crouched down, sitting at your door, waiting for you to make the decision. And that's what happens in life. We all have the sin, you have to decide, make a decision. Sin is always available. So look what happens. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. He's upset. Remember, anger leads to wrath. This stuff becomes sinful. That's how all of us living as children are. Be careful how you get so caught up in things that you're so angry, and you get so raw, that it causes you not think properly. God had told you, you're going to be okay, Cain. But Cain is still upset. Anybody will call upset. You're at wrath or you're angry. But maybe you got to be careful. Why are you angry? Why are you so raw? Just do what's right and everything will be okay. That's what he told Cain. But watch what happens. So Cain, still upset, he go talk with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when he was in the field. Cain is so upset, he rises up. And this is where he's getting ready to open the door. Of sin that lied at his door. He rose up against his own baby brother and he slew him. Cain kills Abel because he's upset over the sacrifice. Look how easy it is to get caught up. So the Lord comes back and says, where is Abel, Cain? Verse 9. And he said, I know not. And my brother's keeper, then he lied. You know you killed him. And now, so sin is just coming in one after another. He'll murder him, he'll kill him, and now he's coming in lying. And my brother's keep, yes, you are. And he said, what have I done? What you do? Come clean. This is what God wants us to do when we make a mistake, when we sin. What are you doing? He's giving us a chance to repent, giving us a chance to say, I messed up. And that's what we need to be able to do, knowing that sin. When we sin, we ought to confess our sin. We ought to be able to admit our sin. And we talked about this morning. You can be free from sin. So what he said, what have I done? The voice of that brother's Brother cried for me. God knew what he had done. But he gave him a chance to come clean. Now, he said, now, verse number 11, God said, okay. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which I opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from the hand. When you till your ground, it shall henceforth yield unto thee her strength. It shall not yield unto your strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall that be in her. God said, I'm going to penalize you. You're not going to be able to grow. You're going to be running around like a vagabond, a fugitive. You're going to eat, plant food in the ground. It's not going to grow up. And Cain said unto the Lord, here's what he said. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Here's why I want to talk about it. I'll stay right here a little bit this afternoon. The sin, brothers and sisters, all of us can be just like Cain. Every one of us need to understand that sin, with sin comes punishment. As we said last week, he punished the snake, yes, sir. He punished Adam. He punished Eve. And now Cain is being punished. Why is the punishment there? It's sin. Sin is our problem. Sin is man's greatest problem. But remember this, God is going to hold us accountable, and there will be punishments for the sin. Paul said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That death right there means separation. Sin immediately separates us from God, and we can't even get a prayer through Isaiah 59:22. Then Paul came back in Romans 3:23. He said, for all have sinned. So all of us got this issue, and all of us have sin sitting at our door. So the question you need to leave with this lesson is, you know, what sin is sitting at your door? Are you going to open the door for the sin? And Paul, Romans chapter 5, turn over there briefly. This will be a short lesson, something, but the point of the lesson is you got to know what you're dealing with in life. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, but they all have sin. So by one man Adam, it came into this world. We all got to deal with sin. Also, separation, the death. And then the physical death would come up where all of us go down. But Jesus, if you die in your sin, where I am, you can't come. So he put a law in place. Paul said, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. We'll come back to that at the end. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. Watch this. Now, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, there's another man, Jesus, had abounded unto men. Now, here's the deal. Here's what we say, that death has come into the world. But if we stay with the Lord, we can deal with sin, because that's the grace of God. By one man, death came. But by one man, Jesus, has grace abounded. We can have salvation. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So what Jesus did, much more outrange what sin can do to us if we keep our hearts right and obedient to the God and doing the things he tells us to deal with sin. And so Paul said, verse number 19, by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall be made righteous. So he's comparing Adam, the first Adam, and then the second Adam. I'll show you that here in a few minutes. For the first Adam disobeyed, the second Adam obeyed so we could be righteous. He said, moreover, the law is, grace may abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Now, here's what I want to think about. The emphasis on this lesson this evening is sin can be lying, crouched, sitting. It is line at any of our doors, the door of our heart, because it has to make a decision to see. But we have to open that door. When you open the door of your heart, you can let sin. See, he was so upset. He was so wrong. Sin entered in. And he killed him. So now, in Romans chapter 1, I'm going to give you a list of sins that could be crouched or lying at your door. So a lot of people think of sin in terms of categorization, like the bad sins, these ain't so bad. But I want all of us to understand something. Yeah, we can get so angry, so upset, that little sins don't seem like they're nothing. We'll just do them. But Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and even as they did not like retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a renovated mind, do the things which are not convenient. And that was before he was talking about homosexuality and all the verses before. Go back up there and read that. But look, here's why I just want to go through this list. I want you all to listen to every sin that can be lying at your door. And be honest with yourself. Which one of these sins is crossing at your door and you open it up to let them in? Paul said here comes another. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Being unrighteous is a sin. Fornication is a sin. Wickedness is a sin. Covetousness is a sin. Maliciousness is a sin. Being envious, full of envy. Murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispering. These are the things that seem to be small in some minds of people's minds. When you run around whispering, talking about things, talking about people, backbiting. Look at that. That's a sin that lurks at the door of everyone. Remember, the idea of sin is the light, the lamb, like Peter said. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sin is lurched there. He wants us to backbite. He wants us to be whisperers. He wants us to fornicate. He wants us to be backbiters. And many people don't see that as a problem. They will continue to talk behind people back. They'll continue to do these things, whispering, carrying out, starting stuff, and calling out maliciousness, being malicious in their behavior. This is all called sin. It's sitting at the door. Every one of us have to open that door to let that sin have its power. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, people got too much pride, boasters, bragging about too much, inventors, just coming up with evil things. That's what we see going on in the world. People just lay there, invent evil, invent wolves, just believe a man can make a baby. A man can't be pregnant. You don't have what it takes to be pregnant. That's just something that's recently come up. And I'm sure if you've been watching TV or news, you see that, what's going on in the world. And they want us to accept all this stuff and just invent evil stuff. Disobedient parents, right down to the children, like Cain and Abel. The children of Adam and Eve had to be obedient too. And they had to be obedient to their parents because that's part of being a Christian and living a Christian life. Your children listening today, know this. Disobeying your parent is lurking at your door. You can be obedient or you can be disobedient. You have a choice. All of us have a choice. You can be without understanding. Covenant breaker. Making a breaking a covenant. Agree with something and then don't go through it without natural affection. That's people who know it's natural for a man to want a woman. Natural faith is not for a man to want a man. Implacable and merciful. Now he says, who knowing the judgment of God, they that which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do it. Don't just go along with people that are wrong. You don't just go along with people because they tell you something, or you go along and you believe in what they're telling you is true. Be careful how you get buy into what people say. Don't have pleasure in the wrongs of other people because sin is lurking at the door, is lying at your door. Go turn to 1 Corinthians now. Paul had to deal with Corinthians, with the sin that lurked at their door, the sin that lied at their door. And you should be in this lesson. Is going through these. Which one of these things have I opened the door to in my life? Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. Now, therefore, there is only a fault among you because you go to the law one with another Why do you not rather take Rome? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Now you do wrong and defraud, and that your brother. Know ye not, here he is, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Here it is. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves and mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Can't do it. And then he go back and tell the Corinthians, and this should keep us from looking down on somebody else. Such were some of you. All of us have seen. There's no doubt about all of us have seen. That's what the Bible said. But these people, because sin had, they had opened the door. Paul said, you are washed. You are sanctified. See, they have a correction for the sin. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now, so why is it, what would cause us to open the door to sin? Sin lies at your door, Cain. What you going to do? You're upset. You going to let this sin take you farther than the anger, farther than your wrong? You that angry that you're going to go to another step? Cain went farther than the anger. He said, be ye angry, sin not. He was wroth and very, that's a rage right there. John said, 1 John 2:15, here's what the world offers us. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world don't offer us what God offers us. For all that's in the world, here it is. Sin is going to get us one of three ways. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye. Get what we want. Our body saying, come get it. Our eye saying, it looks good. And then this other one here, the pride of life. If that's what got Cain right there, see, Cain had so much pride, he couldn't take it that his brother's offering was better than his. So people got so much pride that they can't see right and wrong. You can't see. Sin lies at the door. See, here's the thing about a pride. God resisted the proud. He resisted the proud. He gave grace to all. It takes humility for us to say we're wrong. It takes humility to not go wrong. We're wrong. Jesus was lying at our doors. The world passing away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, here's the key, abideth forever. So in closing, my question to every one of us listening, I had to go through the whole list myself. What sin have you opened the door to in your life and you know you have not caught up in it? You know what it is. Remember this. If you haven't got caught up in one, it's waiting for you to open the door of your heart. And once you let it in, the penalty of sin is death. Sin lies at the door. But then there's this grace we talked about. We talk about the grace of God. You see, the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15:22, that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so it is written, the first Corinthians 15:45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickened spirit. The first Adam was Adam in the garden. The second Adam is Christ. He came to take away the sins of the world. Sin came by the first Adam. The second Adam came that we can all live eternally. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Here's the important thing about this lesson. Every listener has to be honest with his or herself. What sin have you opened the door? There was a line at your door, and you opened it and let it in. You have answered already. And God heard it by you. But you know what it is. And then there comes the second Jesus. In Revelation chapter 3, here's what Jesus said. He said, behold, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. Sin is lying there like a lion ready to attack. But Jesus said, I'm standing. He lying. He's the low. The low one is lying. The sin. The one that can prevent it. The victor over the Satan's sin would be Christ. He would come to take away the sins of the world. That's what John saw when he saw him coming in John chapter 1. He said, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. So here Jesus is said, I'm standing here. Watch what happens. Sin is lurking. Sin is lying. Sin is waiting. He ain't saying nothing. Jesus said, I'm standing. And I'm knocking. I'm letting you know here. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Jesus said, I'm right here at the door. If you will open it up, if you can listen to my word, that's what he said. Open the door and I'm going to come. See, he gives you the choice. He gives all of us the choice. You can deal with the one lying at your door, or you can deal with the one standing at your door who said, I'm coming in and I'm going to sup with you. In other words, Satan can't win as long as I'm in your life. And him that overcometh, Jesus, I will grant to sit with me in my Father, my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in the throne. Then he says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to churches. Brothers and sisters, there's no way around it. There's no way around it. We're going to have to deal with sin. Because sin is lying right there. As the world became. And it stands at my door. I mean, it lies at my door. And it lies at your door. But Jesus gives us a choice. He said, I'm here. All of us have a choice to answer sin and open the door for him, or answer Jesus and open the door for him, the Savior of the world. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what God did for us. He sent his son because of what happened back there in the garden. He sent a Savior. He sent a Savior to the world. John 3:16. We know the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent not his son into the world here, where sin is in, to condemn the world. He did not send him to condemn, but he sent him to save us. Y'all. He sent us to give us a chance to be freed from sin. And then he said, greater love and no man does they lay down in life with me. Jesus, I came to be your friend, as we saw a while ago. He's a friend. He's a friend that died for us because he knows why he's standing there in our door. And the door we're talking about is our mind, our heart. Sin is lying there too. He's right there. But sin can't get in. It rains because when Jesus comes in your life, that's grace. In Greek and read while we're in the book of Romans, if for our reign sin, grace does. Shall we continue in sin? Romans 6, 1, that grace may abound, he says. God forbid. So we just can't keep on doing it over and over and over and over. If sin come in, Jesus can't come. You want sin out, you got to bring Jesus in. When Jesus come in, sin got to go. The light and dark can't stay in the same place. Are you on the call to see? If perhaps you've been listening, you know there's some things going on in your life. Perhaps you need to make a confession. Perhaps you need to ask God to forgive you. Don't get caught up in the sin that lurks at your door. Don't get categorized in sin. Well, there's these big ones you ain't worried about. The little ones are all just walking right into your life. Don't let the gospel run in, the backbite walk in, the tailbearer walk in. Don't let those walk in because you don't see them as bad. They are deadly. Sin is deadly. Well, he said it. Paul said a wages of sin. He didn't say which one is death. And I know that's a big problem in the church. We think we can get away with the little stuff, but you can't. None of us going to get away with anything. Just like Adam didn't get away. Eve didn't get away. The serpent didn't get away. Cain didn't get away. And I'm not going to get away. And you're not going to get away. But we can all save our souls if we let God in our life. Jesus is knocking at your door to see you. Do you believe that he hung, bled, and died on Calvary's hill? Do you believe that he suffered an agonizing death after being brutally beaten? They would murder him. They would kill him. They would take him on the cross after he wears his crown of thorns. He's bleeding. He's bloody. He's doing all this so we, because he knew sin would be standing on our door. He'd be lurking. He knew it would be lying there. But Jesus came to stand with us. To stand with us. And if you're on the call, you got to believe that Jesus died. You got to believe that he was buried. You got to believe that he rose again. Brothers and sisters, our enemy is not each other. Like Brother Michael Ford, our fight is not against the members of the church. It's not against flesh and blood. Our fight is against evil, the devil. Be sober, be vigilant now. That's what the Bible is warning us. Be careful. Remember this. I'm not your problem. The other person is not your problem. The problem is sin. And it can attack any of us at any time. And we ought to try to help people when they're in sin. Thank God for Brother Michael for him in the lesson Bible class this morning. Resolving conflict. But the point he made was this. We are to love one another and work toward making sure that we don't let that sin that's lying at our door come in and be a problem for us, which could permeate through the church and affect others. Parents can affect their children. Members can affect other members. It's just like a disease. It can infect all of us if we let it in our life. Are you on a call this evening? They've been going through some tough times. Is it related to the sin in your life? Maybe it is. Maybe you need peace with God. How do you get peace with God? But well, you know, peace comes from God. See, and the peace that comes, you can be at peace no matter what the conditions exist on. How you say that, remember? Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He said, when people look at us and you're going through something, how is it that the person is at peace? God can give us peace that's past understanding. What the peace of God belongs to God. So when you want to be, you got a peace with God, you got to look up to God. You want peace from God, you got to receive the peace that comes from him. And that peace that comes from God belongs to God, and that's the peace that's past understanding. Oh, you have peace with God. You know, is there a sin going on? Is there something happening? It's easy to correct in this sense. That God said, hey, you want to be saved? Jesus said, go in the world, preach the gospel to them. Tell them I did all of this for them. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Tell them I died. Tell them I was buried. Tell them I rose again. Tell them I shed his blood. If they believe it, Tom, baptize them. Mark 16:15-16. Baptism then is for the remission of sins. Revelation 1:5 is when the washing takes place. It's in baptism. And that's when sin is destroyed, right there in baptism. Now you open the door for Jesus to come in. Now you're going to be obedient to him, and you're going to get baptized, and your sins will be washed away. That's Revelation 1:5. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusted in him this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what you got to do in order to make heaven whole. Paul, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, he said, therefore, they that before, verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night until he sit on the throne, shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither light shall shine. The sun's light on them, nor heat. For the Lamb, watch this, is with, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all their tears. What John has saw when he talked to the elder, verse 13, he said, who are these that are arrayed in white robes? And where do they come from? Verse 14. He said, sir, you know it. He said, these are they, watch this now, which came out of great tribulation. What did happen? They have their washed their robes and made them white. What about? In the blood of the Lamb. The problem of sin can be defeated. Sin can be defeated. Jesus, we have victory in Jesus. And the blood has the cleansing power of the blood. And you can be with God. And you can serve. That's the ultimate goal for us, y'all, is to get to him. Now, what is the summation of this lesson? Recognize that sin is lurking to take you down. It wants to take me down. It wants to take you down. It said, it knows if I can get in that life, that God will lead. It will separate that person from God. The devil knows. Sin knows. And if I can separate them from God, I got their souls. Don't categorize it. Look at everything you do and see. Sin is sin. I hope you enjoyed the lesson. If you want to call to see, if you want to be baptized, hit 5-star on your phone. If you're a member of the church, you say, brother, I've fallen. That's what the church is for. The church for people who want to come back. The church for people who understand we're just sin. We all got sin sickness. And sometimes we fall. What do you do when you fall? Confess your fault one to another. And then we pray for each other. That's what a family is for. Okay? Not that we beat you up when you make your confession. We rally behind you and say, we're with you, brother. Thank God you repented. Thank God you came home. Thank God for the blood of Christ. If a brother is overtaken of the fall, the Bible says, ye who are spiritual, those are people who are aware of sin, and they're fighting it. Restore such a one out in the spirit of meekness by considering you too can fall to the sin that's lying at your door. So what you do, repent, confess your fault, get back up, get back on the battlefield, and start back running this race, and you'll make heaven your home if you stay with the Lord. If you're on the call to see, and we can help you be baptized wherever you are. Now, listen, audience. If you want to know the steps are, you hear the gospel. I preach that today. You believe it, number two, with all your heart. Number three, you repent of your sin. That's in your mind. Number four, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before me, Matthew 10:32. And number five, you got to be baptized, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Washed in the blood, Revelation 1 5, Acts 22 and verse 16. You have to be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of sin. And that happens in baptism, Acts 2 38. And then the Lord added to one church, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. It says, praising God and praying with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, they such as should be saved. So the same thing in the church. What church is it, brother? The only word I can tell you about in the Bible is the church of Christ. Amen. That's the one. Romans 16:16, Paul said, salute one another, all of you. They're churches of Christ. There's but one church in the Bible. There's but one Jesus in the Bible. And to have that one Jesus, that's the only way you can get into one church. Amen. And so on the call tonight, we get ready to sing the song of encouragement this afternoon, rather. We get ready to sing. Hit 5-star on the conference line. And the call leadership there, they will take your confession. I'll take your prayer request, whatever it is you may need. Thank you for listening this afternoon. May God bless you. Just remember, when you lay down tonight, sin is. is laid down at your door. May God bless you.